Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
Everybody, amen. I'm excited about the new year. I'm excited about this new series. I want to tell you a little bit about this series before we jump into it. Is that this is a series that I've understudied this series from really a hero pastor of mine in another state. You've probably heard me talk about him before if you've been around here, but Pastor Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama, really has become like a mentor to me. In fact, I have official mentorship from his team and from his church. And he's really just become kind of a hero sort of guy for me that I just look to him as a role model and as an example. I love the way he pastors. I love the way he leads. I love the way he parents. I love the way he husbands. Like this dude is just the guy that I feel like God's put inside of my life to learn from and to glean from. So I have no issues at all telling you that everything I'm going to present to you all throughout the month, I've understudied from him. And if that bothers you, I'm sorry. I just want to get better. So I'm totally cool to learn from somebody who I think is further down the trail than I am. But I want to start the year this way. Here's what I want to do is this, that before we even get into the context of this series, Uphill Habits, I want to say this, that every year people have tendencies to kind of create resolutions. And statistics tell us that most resolutions will not even make it to Valentine's Day. So 6 weeks into the year, and we're already back into our old ways, not keeping pace with what our heart's desire was or what the end result kind of idea was. We've already fallen back into some ruts and gone back into some former ways. So this year, rather than carry a resolution mindset, I want to introduce to us a habit mindset. Like, let's just decide that I'm going to implement some things into my life, and I'm going to make them habits through consistency. One of my mentors who pastors over in Gainesville heard him say just the other day, he said, it's not what you do in a day, but rather what you do daily that really matters. And he said, it's little things consistently that will begin to shape your life. And that's what I hope this series helps us to do, is implement some small things into our lives that would shape the course of our future. So we're going to go into this together. And here's what I want to say before we start. Again, I just want to go here is this. And I want you to hear me. Please, please hear me say this if you hear nothing else today. That if there's one thing that I don't like about my job, being a pastor, if there's one thing that I would say I just don't like it, it is this, is that too oftentimes people will put me in this place in their mind, like pastors, like he's way up here, and he's so spiritual, and he just knows the Bible inward and outward, and I actually can't stand that because it's not true. It's simply not true. In fact, I love to ask this question. Some of you have heard me ask this before, but ask the question: do you want to know the difference between me and you? Nothing. There isn't a difference between me and you. Not at all, in fact. And somebody goes, oh, yeah, but you're a pastor. Listen, all I am is a born-again believer that responded to God's call on his life. And that happens to be pastoring a church. You, okay, if you're in this room and you're a Christ follower and you're a born-again believer, let me tell you something. You also have a call on your life. And when you respond in obedience to that call, it is every bit as important and significant to the body of Christ and the kingdom of God as being a pastor. Amen, everybody. And I just think some of you need to start the year with that understanding that what God has called you to do matters. It is significant and it is important. And without you, the body suffers. Without you, I suffer. Without you, the church suffers. So as we go into this series, I would dread for you to think that I'm going to stand up here and point to my little cool TV that I just love so dearly, by the way, point to my cool TV with all my slides and all my points, and you to think, man, pastor has just mastered this. Oh, wow. I'm going to be preaching to myself all month long. There are habits and there are details within these habits that I am still, like, it is a stretch for me this year to say, I am going to make this a habit inside of my life. So I just want to make sure that our church family understands that, look, in God's eyes, We are all his children. None of us are more important than the other. He doesn't love any of us more and some of us less. He loves us all equally. We all have a call from God. And as we start the year, I just want to make sure that we just started as a family on the same page. Fair enough, everybody? Can we just start that way? Well, let's get into God's word. If you would, open up those worship guides that you were given when you came into the service today, and grab a pen if you would. I'd love for you to take some notes with me. We're going to start a series called Uphill Habits. Uphill Habits. And I want to start out really with what I would call the thesis, okay? If there's a line that would describe the series, it would be this one. And I'd love for you to write this down. I've been actually saying this in the promotion portion of the series, but go ahead and throw that up there for me, Rob. Is this that most people, write this down, they have uphill hopes, but they have downhill habits. Uphill hopes and downhill habits. In other words, man, I hope my marriage gets better. I hope my finances improve. I hope I can be a better parent or whatever it may be, however it might apply to your life. But we have these concepts, these hopes. Man, I want this to happen. I want that to happen. I would love to see this get better. But I just want to say that hope is not a strategy, everybody. It's not a strategy, and it's not going to work. Hope is not enough. But if we have some hope, then we can create perhaps some disciplines and form some of these things over here, some habits. And that is really the concept and the big idea behind this entire series. Is I hope that every single one of us that call this church their home would say, yes, I am gonna form new habits. So I'm gonna give you four habits this month. We're gonna do one every week. We're gonna do four habits that I hope can shape who we are and shape our future in God's house and in the kingdom and his call in our lives. Yeah? Yeah? All right, cool. I wanted to show you this too. I want to show you this, that uphill habits, if some of you would remember that last year, late last year, I think it might have been September or something, that we did a sermon series called I Choose. And if you were around, it was called I Choose. I think that's probably one of the most positively responded to sermon series I think I've ever done in the history of the church. If it's not the first, it would be a super, super close second to our relationship series that we do every single February. That's coming next month, by the way. I'm gonna plug that. That if you're married, if you want to be married, if you one day dream of marriage, next month is the month. We are gonna dive deep into the relationship conversation. And we are going to see what God's word says about healthy marriages. Amen, everybody? But we did this series in, I think it was September, and it was called I Choose. And this was kind of the thesis of that series, is this, that we said these words, that we are the sum total of the choices that we make. Remember that? Like we're the total. And if I make choices, then ultimately I become what I choose. So if I said things like this, that, hey, if I want to wake up early tomorrow, I should say no to staying up late. If I want to lose 5 pounds, I should say no to unhealthy eating, or whatever the case may be, that we get the opportunity to make some choices. This series is going to be relatively similar to that concept, but here's kind of the line, okay, that I'd love for you to see. This is not in your notes, but here's what I want you to think about in this context, that we are what we repeatedly do. It's just who we are. It's who we are. The things that I repeatedly do really would define who I am. And I know that some of you, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you think to yourself like, man, I want to be different. I want to be better. I want to grow. I want to be more mature, you know, whatever the case may be. And I want you to know it's very, very possible. Can I get an amen from somebody? It is absolutely possible. So to be successful, I'm gonna need you to have three things. You ready? Three things. You can write these down with me. In order to get these habits implemented into your life, the first thing that you're gonna need is hope for the future. Gotta have a little hope. Gotta have some, and remember I said hope's not a strategy, but it is important. It is important that I've gotta have just a little bit of hope for my future. I've got to believe that it can be better. I've got to actually have some desire and some vision to say, okay, yes, I can see a better tomorrow. I actually think I can be a better parent. I actually think I can achieve the promotion. I actually think that I can really, really invest into my marriage and see the thing heal. Or maybe I can just realign my heart with what God wants for me, whatever the hope might be. The important thing is you have to have it. You have to have it. If you don't have hope, you would be hopeless, and it's not gonna help you to create habits for the future, because without the hope, you won't create the discipline. which is like a bad word in today's culture, but it's an important word, discipline. Come on, everybody, right? Scripture that I want to show you right here is this, Jeremiah 29:11, very popular verse out of the Bible. Many of you have probably heard it before, but it's a prophecy and it's being given, and God is speaking, and he says that I know the plans that I have for you. Notice, declares the Lord. He's speaking, and then he says this, their plans to prosper you and not to harm you, which is contrary to what some of you believe. Their plans to give you, notice this, a hope and a future. That God wants you to have a hope for the future, that I actually have a good plan for you. It's a plan to prosper you. It's a plan to improve you. It's a plan to take you to a place where you've never been before. You have to have hope for the future. Some of you, this might need to become the mantra verse for now in your life, that God, I need to learn to believe this about what you say about me, that you actually have a good plan for me, that I can find hope in my future, because too many of you, I'm gonna preach just one second, because too many of you have disqualified yourselves because of your yesterday. And God is saying, don't do that, because I have a plan for you and it's a good one. It's a good one, so have hope in that future. Amen. Second thing you're gonna need, write this down. The second thing you're gonna need is this, you're gonna need repentance from the past. That's also a dirty word in the church. Don't say that word, pastor. You might run people out. I'm gonna say that word because it's a Bible word, and if you want Bible results, you gotta do Bible stuff, amen? And what we need, some of us in our lives, is some repentance. This is not a bad word. This is a good thing. The word repentance in the Old Testament, I won't give you all the definitions and all that stuff, but what this means in the Old Testament is it means to change the course of action. Maybe you've seen the thing, like if I'm going this direction and I repent, I would then turn 180 degrees and I would go this direction. It's repentance. In the New Testament, the word means to change the way that you think. So I need to learn to think differently, which I think is exactly what Christ Jesus gave us in this new covenant that we live in, that Christ died on the cross for our sins and was risen and ascended to the heavens. This is what he gave us, is the opportunity to change from the inside out. Because in the Old Testament, according to the law, you had to change. It was all about what you did and what you didn't do. But in the new covenant, this repentance, it's I'm gonna change from the inside out. And here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of it, that God does the changing. Like it's a supernatural thing. And if all we have to do is align ourselves obediently with what his word says, and then he starts to shift and change us from the inside out. And what tends to happen is, this is the coolest part, what tends to happen is that we just go down the journey of faith and we turn around and look and be like, wow, I'm different. Like I'm growing, you know, and it's a really, right? If you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. Like, wow, like I'm not as short-tempered as I used to be. This is great. Or man, like, I don't know. I'm more patient with my kids than I was before. This is amazing. And all of a sudden this inside outward change starts to take place because repentance has taken place. And I just maybe boldly want to say that some of you this year need to make some choices. And the choices that you need to make are these, that I've got to, if I want something different, I've got to do something different. Amen. Amen. Because I think too many people expect God to just do everything for them, and then it's just easy. And I just want to be honest with you. You're probably going to learn all series long, all throughout the month of January, that this isn't easy stuff. But it's powerful, truthful stuff. And if we'll accept the challenge and implement some habits, we'll see life change start to take place in our hearts and in our lives. Amen, amen. Let's go to God's word, see what it says. Philippians 3:13-14. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself to have yet taken hold of it. Paul basically, it's kind of cool because I didn't even think of this when I started. He's basically saying what I said to start this series. Like I'm not all, like I don't have it all together. He's saying like, I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. I'm not the expert. And I love that about Paul, that he was pretty real and he was pretty honest. He said, but there is one thing I do. Right? And notice what he says. I'm going to forget what is behind. I've got to move on from yesterday. I've got to repent from that. I've got to just get beyond that. So I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I have the whole thing together. I'm not saying I know all the answers or that I'm some expert. But if there's anything I do, Paul said, is I got to forget what I used to be and how I used to be. I've got to change some things. I've got to move on. And then he says that he strains. I probably should have had you highlight that word because it's a strain. I want you to notice that it's a stretch to get some new habits. I strain toward what is ahead. I think there's one more. No, yeah. And he said, I press toward the goal so that I can win the prize for which God has called me. Heavenward. Like, I just love, like, the language here is awesome. Heavenward in Christ Jesus. And what he's declaring is that, in and of myself, I'm limited and I'm flawed and I'm broken, but I'm gonna forget the things that I used to do. I'm gonna strain and stretch toward everything that God is calling me to be, because there is this heavenly call and it's beckoning me onward. It's beautiful, it's beautiful. All right, that's the second thing. First thing, you need is hope for the future. Second thing you need is repentance from the past. And the third thing that you need in order to see these habits is you need the formation of them. I need the formation of some uphill habits. This right here is a real decision thing that I've got to decide that, okay, I'm going to change some stuff. I'm going to be intentional about some things. I'll tell you this, that when it comes to 21 days of fasting and prayer, for Pastor Josh, it has to be extraordinarily intentional. Let me kind of talk about it for a second, because my body hates every minute of it. My body was dreading this morning because I knew when the alarm went off this morning, like, it was on. You know what I'm saying? And my body can't stand it because it thinks I'm dumb. But my spirit understands the value, so I have to decide that I'm just going to set myself on an uphill habit. This is something that I'm going to do, and then I just choose. And for me, this is just me personally, I've got to decide ahead of time what I'm fasting. Because every time I haven't done that, I always my flesh wins. So I say, well, I'm not sure if I'm gonna full fast today, but I'll start the day that way and see how it goes. Next thing you know, I'm having hummus and crackers. You know what I'm saying? I guess I'll just Daniel fast today, because I'm, right? I have to decide that, hey, today's a day that I'm not eating anything, you know, or whatever, because it's a habit. It's something that's uphill, and it's something that's gotta be formed inside of my life so I stay within the boundaries that I feel like God has called me to. Because listen to me, I'll say this. John Maxwell says this: everything worth doing is uphill. Everything. Which means it's a struggle and it's a fight and it's a scratch to get to the top. But some of us need to form some uphill habits. Scripture, my great brother in the back, Romans 12:2. I love this is the Message version, so it's a little bit of a paraphrase. It says this. In fact, I'd love for you to say these words with me. Ready? Fix your attention on God. Fix it, set it, and declare that, hey, I'm gonna do something. I'm choosing some things, that this is what I'm gonna set out to do. I'm gonna fix my attention. I'm gonna make sure that I am set, my course is set. I will not let my flesh talk me out of this. I'm going forward. I'm gonna form these habits. Fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed. There it is, from the inside out. Isn't that beautiful? Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. I think there's one where, yep, unlike the culture around you, right? Because culture around you wouldn't do the things that we do, because the culture around you would talk you out of it, but we're gonna fix our attention on God. So unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. This is what God wants in you, is he wants you to walk in stability and strength and in his power to fulfill his purpose and his plan for your life. So for me to form habits, I've got to have a hope for the future, number one. I've got to have repentance from the past, number two. And then I've got to be willing to have the formation of uphill habits, number three. So I'm going to give you habit number one. You ready? Habit number one, here we go. This is really the meat of the day. Habit number one is, I want to encourage everybody at Church on the Rock to focus on what I do first. This should be a challenge inside of your heart, is to start considering the things that you do first. What is the first thing I do in the morning? What are the first thoughts that I'm thinking? What does the first of my week look like? First of my year? First of my month? I need to begin to focus on what I do first. And I'm going to show you biblically why this is important and why we all should be thinking in this context. But number one, I just want to encourage, because for many of you, this would be a big, big, giant deal. I just want to encourage you to put God first. Make him first in your heart, first in your life, because for many of us in this room, that would be a big change. Because many of us, and I continue to say us, because I want you to understand something that that for me, my heart, I have to constantly check it. In fact, the Bible says that it's deceitful above anything else, and it's wicked. And the Bible says that we're like set to be bad from the beginning. Welcome to Church on the Rock. I'm just here to encourage you, right? And some of you guys, if you're old enough, you'll remember the old rotisserie commercial, right? It was a little rotisserie oven, and their big ad was set it and forget it. Just set it and forget it. And here's what I've discovered as a Christian is that my heart, it is not that rotisserie oven. I cannot simply set it and forget it. I have to set it and check it and reset it and check it and reset it. This is why every year I purpose to set myself apart for 21 days of fasting and prayer. Personally, I'm just telling you my personal conviction. This is why I do it, because I can tell you that I've had a million reasons why we should do it differently or do something else or whatever. And the only reason why, when I dig to the root of that, the only reason why my mind thinks that is because it's easier. It's easier. But every year, I want to make a decision. I just want God to be first. Because I recognize sometimes that my heart, it has a default setting and it's downhill. Come on. It's just a slow, you remember, what's the song, the group? It's a slow fade. You know what I'm talking about? The Fireproof movie. You all know. You saw it, right? It's just a slow fade, little by little by little. I just fade off into a course of action that I didn't want. My heart always defaults down to a downhill slope. So I want uphill habits, man. I've got a purpose inside of myself to make sure that every year, God, you are first. So I'm gonna start this year sacrificially. I'm gonna start this year set apart. I'm gonna place you in that position of my life, God, because I wanna make sure that I'm not the rotisserie oven. So I'm gonna reset my heart for the year. God, I need you to be first. So let's break it down. You ready? We'll break down having God first. Genesis 1, maybe I'm taking this out of context a little bit, and if I am, I'll admit it, but the first four words of the entire Bible say this: in the beginning, God. Listen, I just don't think that's an accident. I think God's awesome like that, okay? But he sets the tone right out of the gate. Page number one, first sentence, in the beginning, God. And for some of us, if we would actually use this as like a mantra of our life, or we would just determine that in the beginning, it's gonna be God. In the beginning of my year, God. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of my week, God. In month, God. In the beginning, God. This right here, these four words, right? I'm not very good at math, but I counted these four words. If some of you would just apply them to your life overall, it would change everything about your life. Everything about your life. And I'll go one step further. First place is the only place in your heart God will even take. So if you think he's in your life, but he's not first, you're tricking yourself. I know that's heavy. I always feel bad when I do that to y'all. But look, if the shoe fits, just put that joker on. All right, next scripture. That's how I like to preach. Next verse, Rob. He's working out. That thing will glitch sometimes. Our production team are packed full of studs back there. Seriously, hard working. All right, cool. Hey, it's in your notes. Look at it with me. He'll get it up as soon as the computer cooperates. Exodus 20, 1-3. And God spoke all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Just want you to notice before I even get to the highlight portion of what I want to say is that he said, I did something for you first. Like I showed and expressed my love to you first. And then he said, I brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. And you, this is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. None. Little g gods. Like God is totally cool with you loving things. He's not cool with you loving them more than him. So your boat is totally awesome. I'm glad you have it. But it can't be before God. Because then it becomes a god. And whatever your thing is, or your distraction, your TV, your Instagram, I'm to preach to myself, deer hunting in the fall, it can't be before God, it can't. Because he's only gonna take one place in your life, and he's simply saying, you can't do that. You can have things you love, you just can't have things you love more than me. Amen, everybody. It's good preaching. If you agree, you can say stuff. You can just let me know. All right. I'm not saying it's good preaching. I'm not saying it's good preaching because I'm saying it's just good preaching because this is the truth of God's word. Now, I just want to articulate it in a way that you can understand. So here we go. Number two, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to do this, to give God the first of everything. Everything in your life. The first. Because my habit is this, that I'm going to make him first. I'm going to think about what I do first. And I want to encourage you to put God and give God the first of everything. Now, I'm going to go ahead and hit it, because I know some of you are already thinking it, that many, many preachers have manipulated this idea and focused it only in one area, and it's your wallet. And they like to talk about it, and they like to say, make God first, and give the first fruits, and all that kind of stuff. And then they like to, that's about the time ushers come forward with those buckets. No, I'm just kidding, we're not doing it right. That's about the time the offering starts getting collected, and they start talking about you should be obedient, and you should give. Here's the thing. I actually think that their teaching is correct. I think sometimes the heart is wrong, because if money's the only thing you're focusing on, you're missing it. You're really missing it. And because of the... Because I'm aware of the stigmas against churches and against pastors, I just want to show you a couple of things in God's word. Can I do that? Give me a verse. Check this out. The Bible says that a tithe, can I just stop right there? The word tithe to a lot of people is scary because they don't know what it means. Literally means a tenth. That's all it means, a tenth. So a tenth of, notice this word right here, everything. It's everything from the land, whether grain or soil or fruit or from the trees, like whatever, it belongs to the Lord and it's holy to the Lord. Like it is his. So if the habit that I'm going to form is to pay attention to the things that I do first, then I need to pay attention to what God would call me to give him first. And that's really just the first of everything. To which some of you guys are thinking, well, everything, man, that's all I got. To which God would say, that's all I asked for. But check this out, I'll take you a step further. Deuteronomy, watch this, it tells us plainly why we would even tithe. Can I tell you something? I didn't even know this verse was in the Bible until I watched Pastor Chris teach on it, and I'm like, blew my mind. And I'm gonna give it to you. The purpose of tithing, it's not so that we can build buildings. It's not so that pastor can go on a cruise. It's not so that we can have nice stuff. No. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. Here's the thing. It's not for God, it's for you. Can I tell you this? God can be God without your tithe. He can afford to finance the kingdom without us. So why then would God require me to respond with the first fruits of my increase? Because he wants to work on your heart. And what he's saying is that if you would just be obedient to me by giving me the very first, it'll change your heart. Because you're making sure that you're willfully putting me in that place. In our home, it's just something, we just do it. I was raised that way. I've been tithing my entire life. I grew up in a home where it was a principle. It was something, even as a child, I'd get Christmas money, birthday money, tithe off of that money. The Bible says to give the first fruits of your increase. So if it's increase, like if somebody gave me something or if I bought something and sold it for a profit, I'm tithing off the increase. That's just the principle that I've set. I'm only telling you what I do. This conviction's my conviction, but I'm always gonna put God first. In fact, this past week, my family, they're still out of town. We were out of town all week. We were doing some fun stuff. And so we set a budget. We said, all right, how much are we going to afford ourselves to spend while we're gone? Okay, that's cool. We gave the thumbs up. And then my wife and I both decided, okay, let's push pay the tithe right now, which push pay is just a little online thing we do. It's available for everybody. In fact, most of you give that way. And we just decided rather than before we even leave, before the wheels are up and we're out, we're going to push pay because we just want to put God first. Because I trust him more than I trust me. He's my provider, not the church, not my job. He provides for me. So I'm going to make sure that I steward what he's given me to steward. Amen. All right, we're not talking about money. Moving on. What's next? Let me look at my notes here. Give God tithe of everything. And I want to break that down, okay? And you see it in your notes. I want to encourage you to give God the first of my year. Like I'm going to give God the very first portion of my year. And we help you with that by doing 21 days of corporate prayer and fasting. So we've given you a way to do it, like a system. I like helping people to grow into opportunities. So we've come up with 21 days of prayer and fasting. It starts today and it'll end on the 27th. And I am encouraging all of you to get involved. Give God something. And because I know that fasting is foreign to a lot of people or just weird to a lot of people, I'm going to break that down for you just a little bit. There's different ways to fast. So the first way that you can fast, I hope you can see that, is a complete fast. The complete fast. In other words, like no food is going into my body, water only or whatever. And many people can do this. In fact, science would show us that the maximum amount of days that someone could go without food is about 40 days. And we see multiple examples in the Bible of people who would do that. Jesus and Moses and others would go on these 40-day fasts. And some of you might feel God call you to do that, to just go on a complete and total fast. By the way, you should always consult your physician and your doctor to find out what your body can do. We have to be wise about it. Some of you might do what's called a selective fast. Selective, like, so, okay, so I won't do away with all food, but I'll be selective about the types of foods that I eat. Some of you have heard of things like the Daniel fast or whatever. It's a selective diet that I will partake in certain types of food. I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm gonna do away with sweets for the whole month, you know, or whatever. Okay, great, man, like that's awesome. Or I'm gonna only eat, I'll just do away with lunch for 21 days, no lunches. Or some people will sometimes do what might be called like a Jewish fast, which is basically like, I just won't eat when the sun's up. So I'll eat everything and nothing's off limits except the times in which I eat it or don't eat or whatever. It's just selective fast. These are options for you. Next would be a partial fast, right? So again, and I kind of probably spoke about those two together. Partial fast would be that, hey, I'm gonna only be selective to what I eat or when I eat it or whatever. And then this one, I think I'm going to encourage everybody under the age of 25 to consider a soul fast, all right? A soul fast. What I mean by that is get away from the TV and the screens, and I'm going to say it in church, Instagram, you know what I mean? Or Facebook or social media. For some of you, that would be a huge impact into your spirit is if you would just kind of do away with some of the media or the news or the movies or whatever it is. You know, you're binge watching Netflix all the time, you know, and I would just encourage you, hey, consider these things. I only point these things out to you because, again, I'm not going to tell you how to fast. I'm not going to tell you what to fast. I don't think that's my responsibility, but I think that you should consider giving God the first of your year and choosing what you can sacrificially separate from in this time so that he can speak into your life, because there's really only one reason to do that, and that is to allow him to have his way in your heart and in your life. And by the way, online on our website, churchontherock.net, we have resources and links that you can click on, and we'll guide you through different forms and types of fasting. Again, we're trying to help you as much as we can to be successful in this season so you can find all that stuff there. So first we talked about the first of my year. Next thing I want to encourage you to do is throw it in there so I don't have to look at my paper, is the first of my month. Give God the very first part of my month. This one is the one right here that I think challenges me the most right here. So when I said I'm going to preach to me, this is the one right here where I was just like, ooh, man, I need to step it up. And I want to encourage you to do that by scheduling and budgeting. Scheduling and budgeting. If you're like me, you're too busy. You're just too busy. Our culture perpetuates busyness like it's a badge of honor, and people love it. How are you? What does everybody say? Busy, right? I never talk to people and say, how are you? I got nothing going on. Because your first thought would be like, what's wrong with you, slacker? You know what I'm saying? Like, our culture perpetuates busyness, and I'm not good at it. In fact, my wife tells me I don't even know how to rest. She's like, you can't even take a time off. You always have to do. And she's right, because I measure my days by what I achieve in them. Like, If I didn't achieve anything, like the grass didn't get mowed, you know, the garage is still a mess. Like, I feel like I failed the whole day. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is wrong with me? This is something I'm going to really step up to. Honestly, one of the things that I'm going to work on is really just scheduling downtime. Just saying, man, I need to just, like, the achievement is to rest a little, to rest my body. And then budgeting, of course, that's a big deal. That would change all of our lives, amen? If we budget a little better. Yeah, so I'm encouraging you, give God the first of your month. And then here's a really big one, really, really big one, is to give God the first of my day. That too. I'll get to that one next. You can go ahead and fill in the next blank if you want to. Sort of let the cat out of the bag there. The first of my week, and check it out. Listen. And this, hey, listen, worship and resting. Worship and resting. Here, this is the question. I asked it last Sunday, and I even threw on the screen because I want to ask you this question again. What would your life look like if you went to church 52 times this year? What would it look like if in this year that I just determined that Sunday morning is a habit that I'm in? It's not a convenient thing. If I feel like it, if I wasn't out too late last night, if I don't have a lot going on today, if I would just make a determination, I'm going to be in God's house. I'm going to be connected to God's family. I'm going to get involved in the body of Christ. I'm going to make it a part of my day. I'm going to make it a part of my life. I'm going to make it the first part of my week. I'm going to be in God's house. I'm not trying to just preach this for church attendance. I'm just saying that if you could receive from God on a more consistent and more healthy basis, what would it do in your heart? What would it do inside your life? And then I want to encourage you to chill out some. Rest a little bit, relax, like leave church and go home and hang out with your family some and cook a good meal and go for a walk and watch a movie together and just, man, like spend some time just chilling a little bit and unwinding, because this is something that God wants for his people. Amen. Amen. All right, now you got my next one. Give him the first of my day. Like, what do you do first in your day? First in your day. And I want to help you with that. I'm going to break this one down a little bit. I just want to encourage you to have time with God each and every day, each and every morning. Here's what I want to say. Like, I want to say this real loosely, because again, I don't think it's my responsibility to tell you how and what to do. I think it's my responsibility to just guide you on a way to do it. I think you have to be obedient to the Spirit of God who leads you into what your convictions are and what God would call you to do. But I would like to encourage you to consider time with God first, like the first thing in the morning, time with God. One of the things, I've created some new habits for my life. One of the things is this, that I don't even pick my phone up until my time with God's done, because that phone is this crazy distraction to me. Texts are there, emails are there, social media is there, and I gotta know what's going on with your kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going to happen if I don't see the cute picture that you captured yesterday afternoon? Oh my gosh, I don't know. So I've just kind of created some boundaries because I want to form some uphill habits. And personally, I like to have just my time with God be the very first part of my day. And I'm going to give you perhaps a small strategy that you can do it. This is something I picked up from a great leader called the First 15. So the first 15 minutes of your day, spend the first 5 minutes in the Bible. In God's word, in the Bible. And I know that there are many, many people in our church that are, they're brand new in their faith. The Bible's this big, like, intimidating book, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And look, there's resources everywhere, daily reading plans. Like, there's just endless possibilities of places where you can find help to guide you through the Bible. But I just want to encourage you to just spend 5 minutes in the Bible. There's an amazing resource. I think it's the greatest resource the church has ever been given in the history of the world, and it's called the YouVersion Bible app. If you haven't downloaded that on your phone, you need it. If you have a smartphone, you need it on that phone. Put that thing on there, and they'll give you, like, they'll tell you what to read. If all you did is read the verse of the day every single day, for some of you, that'd be a huge, huge change in your life. 5 minutes in the Bible, moving for time. I want to encourage you to have 5 minutes in worship, to like give God some praise and actually proclaim his praises and sing to him, man. Get you some good music, go to your Spotify and find you a nice playlist. If you don't know what Spotify is, ask somebody under 40. They'll tell you what that is. Get that on your phone too. Set you a worship playlist and just spend a few minutes, one song, just one song, be about 5 minutes long, and just spend some time just declaring God's greatness, declaring who he is. That alone will change your heart and change your life. And then finally, as you can imagine, just 5 minutes in prayer. Just 5 minutes. God, just pray that you would just help me to have a great day today. Help me not to do anything stupid. Lord, I don't want to steal a car today. You know, I don't know what your prayer might sound like, whatever. But just, man, call out to God. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think that we all have 15 minutes. I know you're busy, but I think we all have this much time. All of us. And I'll tell you something that another great leader, Bill Hybels, always says, that if you are too busy for time with God, you're too busy. Change something. You're just too busy. Gotta have time with the Father. Amen, everybody. All right, moving on for the sake of time. Number three, and this is important. This is a big deal. I wanna encourage you to expect God to bless the rest. Expect it. Because this is a biblical principle that when we put God first, he will do more with the rest than we could do with it all. It's really not about what's mine and what's his, because it's all his. It's about how I steward what he's given me. How do I steward my time? How do I steward my month, my day, my schedule, my money, my family? How am I stewarding that? And when I do it appropriately and I make God first and I focus on what I do first, then I can expect God to bless the rest. Because some of you are thinking, yeah, but I don't have time to slow down. I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to be in church. God can do more with 6 days in his power than you can do with 7 in your own. God can do more with 90% of your budget than you can do with 100. God can do more with your schedule, with your week, with your life, with your marriage, with your family, with your soul, with your spirit, than you can ever do in your own strength. We'll close right here. We'll close right here. Proverbs 3, 6 through 10. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Check this out. Don't be wise in your own minds. You ever been guilty of that? Because I have. I'll just do it my way, God. I think this is better for me. He says, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. That means like push it away. Do what you can do to get rid of it. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I mean, he's talking about your physical condition gets better. I love this word. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, with everything. And then your barns will be filled to overflowing. And your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, I realize this is Old Testament language that we're reading here, but you are the man. But when we honor God with first things, then his supernatural power comes to the rest of everything. His supernatural power come into your week when we give God first. Supernatural power come into your bank account when we give God the first. Supernatural power, come into your month when we give God the first. Come into your year when we give God the first. It's a positioning. It's a setting of my heart that, God, I need my heart to have an uphill habit. And I need to be the kind of person, Father, that will just push away the lure of the world and the draw and the distraction and the temptation, because, God, I've got to set my heart for an uphill habit. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray over every person in this room. Every single one of us, Lord, I pray that this year would be the greatest year of our life. I pray, Father, that it's the greatest year of our life because it's the greatest year of our life spiritually. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would give us the ability, the discipline, God, the willpower, that we would choose in our hearts and our minds with your strength, Father, to set ourselves apart and focus on what we do first. To give you the first, Lord God, of our day. The first, Father, of our week. Lord, the first of our month. and God, the first of our year. I pray, Father, that in 2018 at Church on the Rock, I pray, Lord God, that we see more life change than we've ever seen. I pray that we see more growth than we've ever seen. I pray, Lord God, that we see more of your supernatural power than we've ever seen. Lord God, not for our own sake, but for the sake of those who need your freedom. For the sake of those, Lord God, who are desperate for a touch from you. For those, Lord God, that haven't encountered you the way that many of us have. And I just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that every one of us in this room would set our hearts and set our minds, Lord God, to have uphill habits. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.